Our scripture reading this afternoon comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, or not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. This is a very interesting scripture, which gives us certainly commands for our behavior in the church and intelligence for dealing with people outside the church. For in this scripture, the Lord sets the boundary between the church and the world and tells us that we have to deal with people, we have to think about people in two different ways. When people are outside the church, we think of them one way. When people are in the church, we must deal with them another way. I'm having trouble. We trouble here with my stand. I think I'll just balance the books a little bit differently. Every week is a new surprise. So this scripture, it's good for us. It's good for our exhortation in terms of our thinking and our behavior in the church. It's one of the scriptures that exhorts us to church discipline. But it also really helps us outside the church. Very often, people, when they are part of Christ's church, very often they are overly indulgent to people in the church, not setting the proper ethical, moral boundaries within the church, not being especially zealous to be holy as Christ would have us be holy in the church. And then when they are outside the church, they're very judgmental to people outside, and sometimes they're very pharisaical. They're afraid to see and hear and touch the ungodly that are outside the church. But this scripture exhorts us just the opposite. Now, we know the context of this. The Apostle Paul says at the beginning of chapter 5, it is actually reported there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And he says, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. He's saying the Corinthians, who fancy themselves as being hyper-spiritual people, were they not the church that had tongues and all of these other spiritual gifts of which the apostle spoke? But the apostle Paul is saying, despite the fact that you think that you're hyper-spiritual people or super-spiritual people, you are morally and ethically rather dumb and insensitive to the Spirit, because you have things going on inside your church body that are so wicked that they're not even spoken of outside in the pagan society. And yet, here you are, you're just as happy as can be as a church fellowship. There's something wrong with you. So the underlying exhortation here throughout this chapter is that the church needs to be a holy organization that takes care of its standards. And if it finds those in its midst that are deviant, here the subject is sexuality, then it needs to take care of that. I know I heard of a church one time up in Michigan that was a church that was an evangelical church in the area that my one of my sons lived in, and he and his wife did not consider this church because they'd heard rumors about the sexual immorality that went on inside the church. And a number of families had started affairs, had gotten divorced, and then remarried within the, everybody happily trading, basically trading partners, and they, of course, then they all loved each other in the name of Jesus. And this is the kind of thing the apostle would say: it's a wicked situation. Should not be promoted as part of the church. How can we possibly consider ourselves to be holy in Christ Jesus and be so deviant? Such as the world would talk about us and indict us. But then the apostle says to them, the other problem is sometimes when the church gets thinking about righteousness and holiness, then sometimes the church becomes so holy that they won't even deal with the world. They have no openness or no familiarity, no fellowship with the world at all. So the apostle says in verse 9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, a Christian who is of this sort. Now you see, you can understand how this would work. We go to church and we get it pressed upon us that we need to seek sanctification. That because our Lord Jesus saved us, we need to try to approximate His holiness. And so we get that before our eyes, and then we go home in our neighborhood. And we know that our neighbors next door don't go to church. Well, if they don't go to church, they're idolaters, right? Should we speak to idolaters? Of course not. We need to separate ourselves from all sin. And so we get to the point where we wouldn't be talking to our neighbors because they would be too unholy. And where would that get us in terms of the kingdom of God? If we don't talk to those who are not of the household of faith, will the household of faith ever grow? Of course not. So the apostle is saying we need to have some more openness to the world despite its sinfulness. You just can't separate yourself from the world. The world, by definition, is outside the church. It's outside of the covenant. And so if you totally separate yourself from all people like this, then you'd, as the apostle says here, you'd have to go out of the world. You'd have to leave the world. You'd have to get on some sort of a rocket ship and blast off because the world is full of contamination. This world's a fallen world. We are called to preach to it and to love it and to win it to the kingdom of God. And so we can't be so worried about the Pharisaical rules of the Pharisees when we're dealing with the world. But on the inside of the church, Jesus says, accept your righteousness, exceed that of the Pharisees. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we have a two-pronged ethical idea here. One is that we ought to press our ethics inside the Church of Christ to be as pure as we can be. This doesn't mean that we still don't love each other, that we still don't try to deal tenderly with each other, but especially where our sin is more dangerous and more gross, we have to deal with it on the face of it. We just can't let it fester in the name of love. But then outside the Church of Christ, we cannot possibly prosecute this high a standard, or else we won't be able to deal at all with the world. So this is a very important principle that aids us both in the holiness of the church and also of church outreach. And we can't mix up these two principles. We must realize that if Christ is our head, that He must be our example. And as an example, our Lord challenged Peter, James, and John and the other disciples in a much greater way. He challenged the people in the temples, making up a whip of cords and driving people out of the Church of Christ who were wicked. And at the same time, as we saw this morning, He goes and He talks with a Samaritan woman who was a woman very much in need of the ministry of the church. And he risks a lot. He risks his reputation, in a sense, by talking with this woman and by ministering under her. But that ministry was a blessing because Then she went back into her village and she testified of the grace of this one whom she had met, even the wonderful Jesus Christ. We are to be this kind of person, this kind of people. If we do, if we understand the discrimination between these two ways of behaving, then we shall be of great success. We'll be successful in the church, and we'll be successful outside the church. We'll build up the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God that we build up will be the true kingdom of God, and not an artificial, false, pseudo kingdom of God made up of people that really don't care about biblical holiness. Let us close in prayer. Our Father and our God, today we see thy church languishes in a sense in a corrupt climate whereby whether it's in doctrine or ethic, the church is very slow to press the perfection of the Word of God, the perfection that we see in the Word of God. It's very slow to press that upon itself. And so the church has become more and more wayward and more and more worldly. We pray, O Lord, that we in the Church of Christ would have a desire after true holiness. We pray that at the same time that we would understand that we must consider the fallen world and must consider that we were once of this same ilk, that we must press on with our love and the gospel upon those out in the world, that they might taste and see that thou art good. Bless us, O Lord, in the sometimes confusing circumstances in which we live. Help us to decipher which situation we're involved in, and which we ought to be more pressing, and which we ought to be more pliant. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.